October 18th, 1918, a United States soldier by the name of Alvin York faced machine gun fire in northern France. He was a terrific marksman. He fired back, and his bullets hit their mark. The Medal of Honor citation says he charged a machine gun nest, endured incessant fire, and took 132 prisoners. Alvin York filled his early life with worldly pursuits. He was arrested several times, and he had a good friend die in a bar fight. York realized that his own fate would be similar if he didn't change his ways. About this time, York attended a revival meeting. He converted to Christianity and joined a denomination that believed in pacifism. World War I started, and York petitioned for a conscious objector status, meaning, I don't think it's biblically right to take another man's life. He didn't want to fight other men, but the draft board denied York's petition. This placed York in a difficult position. Ultimately, York decided there are times when God ordains war and that he must do his best as a soldier. When asked about his heroics, York declared God was with him. York had a fearless confidence, which allowed him to carry on amid dreadful circumstances. As national soldiers need boldness, can I encourage us here tonight? So do the soldiers of the cross. Amid dreadful circumstances, he was fearless. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for tonight. God, I pray that we would not live a reckless life. God, I pray that we would be careful, but for your cause, we would be fearless. Lord, I pray for that attitude and that boldness. Lord, I pray that you would get a hold of our hearts here tonight. And God, that you would stir in us, that we would see the great cause that is before us. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. To be fearless means to face danger with a spirit of determination. For God gives us the spirit of power. Fearless is not because there is no difficulty, nor is it careless, but the power that we experience, now we're talking as a Christian, the power that we experience is God's power. The abilities that God has equipped us with is not our abilities, but God's ability. We read in the Bible about these great men that have done great things. We read about Paul and Timothy, and I read about them, and I think, I wonder what they were thinking. I saw what they did, but I wonder what their thought process was. And in some of the writings, I feel like Paul is trying to help Timothy, maybe with some, maybe delinquencies that he might have, or maybe a timidness about him. Maybe Paul sees, in your life, if there's certain things that you got a hold of. We had a family over the other day, and we were talking about table manners, and just, you know, ingrained into maybe certain people, you don't chew with your mouth open or whatever it is, and that is your hobby horse. That is the hill you're going to die on, and you go after that. Why, that's somehow ingrained in you. Well, I don't know if somewhere along the way Paul's got a hold of this and saw the delinquency in Timothy, because he mentions certain things multiple times of, hey, why do you have to say that so much? And I wonder what Timothy thought as he was serving the Lord that would make Paul have to write these words. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, Timothy, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He says, let me explain to you the transition that happens. God takes your fear, Timothy, and there's an exchange that happens. He takes your fear and substitutes it and replaces it with his power and his love and of a sound mind. What is that? That's compassion, that's God's strength, and that's God's wisdom. And Paul tells Timothy, this is what you need. You need to exchange your fears, if you will, for these things. For when you have God's power, you can live fearlessly. Facing danger, not that there's an absence of danger. It allows you to face danger with the spirit of determination, for God has given you his spirit of power. And Paul helps Timothy overcome maybe what we would say is a timid streak. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at his encouragement to him. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, he tells him. Paul is trying to encourage Timothy in some things. Maybe again, it's because maybe Paul sees Timothy's thought process and says, hey, I need to encourage him here. Or maybe it's written for our encouragement, knowing that, hey, there's going to come a group that's going to need to hear this. I was watching the news this afternoon. I kept having to walk away because it was just so repetitive. I wanted to see what was going on. Again, I had friends and fellow pastors in D.C., and I was concerned. Reaching out to them, Cameron Knob was there, and I text him. I'm like, hey, well, where are you? He's like, we're on our way home. Don't worry. We're all good. But I was concerned, and I was watching that, and man, there were some people that were, I don't know what your thoughts are and what your ideas are, but not that you care what I think, but I don't think it's smart to storm the Capitol. I don't think it's a good idea to break through a window when there's agents on the other side with guns. I don't know what you're trying to accomplish, but no one heard your message. You just looked like a hoodlum. The very things that you called out and cried against is what you've become. And maybe there's a lot more to the story, but when I was watching, that's what I was seeing. And there was a group of people that were fearless, but for the wrong cause. Trying to stir up trouble. God calls us to be fearless as a good soldier for his cause. Paul is trying to encourage Timothy. Hey, I want to help you with some things. I don't know how you would describe yourself. Maybe you would describe yourself as an introvert. I'm not really outgoing. I'm just not that type of person. So how do you suggest that God can help me with these things? Because I want to be bold for him. I want to take a stand for him. Well, God's power is here to help you. We live in a world that is getting more and more hostile towards Christianity. I'm not sure if you're aware of that. I was surprised. I'll tell you, I was surprised with how the election went and the thing in Georgia and all that stuff. According to election, one guy's going to be the president, and the same party is going to run the House and the Senate. That's pretty strong. And I think that's just an indication of where our country is. The morals of God and the morals of man are in two different places, and we are living in a world, in a society that is getting more and more resentful towards morality. That's just the way it is. And a spirit of power, can I say, is necessary right now. Like Timothy, we need God's power to keep from being ashamed of the gospel. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. Three areas that God's power will help us. 2 Timothy chapter 1 in verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. If I went into your workplace and I said, tell me about this person, what would they say? Oh, they're on time, they work hard. Would the word Christian come up? Would they say that guy or that lady is a Christian? Not that they're perfect, but they are not ashamed of the testimony. Do you understand? Why are we ashamed of the testimony? Because we are living in fear. So when we exchange our fear for the power of God, that helps us be not ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. When you walk in your workplace, you may work in a secular workplace, and it is not, it would be wrong for you to use company time to not work and just try and evangelize. That is not necessarily the place for at the workplace. But you can still maintain a good testimony. There's opportunities all throughout the, how do you conduct yourself? What is it about you? And you can say things, hey, we're having a church function. I would love for you to come. Give a Christmas present and a gospel tract, something of that sort. But are you ashamed of the gospel? Are you ashamed of the testimony? Are you ashamed? Just because I don't go saying it, if someone asked me, I'd say yes. No, I don't think that's how that ought to be. I think people ought to be for sure that you're a child of God. You're like Timothy, we need God's power to keep from being ashamed of the gospel. Number two, we need God's power to help us hold fast to the truth. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. It says this, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Hey, it takes God's power to not wander from that which is true. We were talking about in our staff meeting this morning a little bit about speaking the truth. Paul sometimes, I'm not sure if maybe you're unaware of this, but sometimes we can say the truth and it hurts somebody. You know, the Bible tells us that we would be wise in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, I think it's in verse 12 or 13, where a wise man speaks with grace. And sometimes we say the truth, but without grace. I understand the Word of God is a two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I don't have to make it worse than it already is. And I can present the truth of the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit of God work in someone's heart. I don't have to be mean and nasty. But the truth of the word, you know what it says? Hey, don't let go of that. Hold fast to that. Yeah, it would just be a lot easier though if I just didn't say anything. No, speak it, speak truth, but speak it with grace. God's power to help us hold fast to the truth. God's power, number three. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. In verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. It tells us, it describes the last days. Let's read the description in verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. And it says this, from such turn away. There's a lifestyle that the world promotes and that associates with the way of the world. And God says, here's what I want you to do. Stay away from that. Stay away. Don't buddy up. Don't partner up. Why? Because that will hurt you. Then I'm going to need some help. Correct. God's power to avoid worldly associations. Listen, I know that, again, in your workplace or maybe where you go to school, there's a partnership that is mandated. But these philosophies ought not to be anywhere near you. This way of life ought to be nowhere near you. Do not allow these things to come into your life. Do what you need to do and get out. God's power to avoid worldly associations. God's power is there to help you. Say, I'm afraid. You know what one of the hardest words to say is? No. Hey, some of the guys and I were going to grab a drink after work. You want to join us? Oh. Why not say no? Because you're afraid. I don't want to make enemies. I don't want to make it hard on Monday. It's my boss. Hey, did you hear the one about... Oh, no. Hold on. I don't listen to that stuff. I don't talk like that. From such, turn away. Why is it so hard to tell somebody no, even though in your heart the Holy Spirit's screaming and yelling, saying, don't do it? Because we're afraid. Why don't we share the gospel? Why is it so hard to take a little 3 pieces of paper and say, can I give you one of these to read? Because we're afraid. Why is it hard to stand for the truth? Because we're afraid. But God has not given us a spirit of fear. Not towards those things. He wants us to be fearless for Him. Faithfully fearless. And God's power is there to help. Paul risked his life for the opportunity to be able to share the gospel with the Gentiles. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16. Look at what he says. At my first answer, no man stood with me. Would you quit? No one listened to me. No one liked what I had to say. But all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. He says, no one was with me except the Lord and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and preserve me unto His heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. Paul risked his life for the opportunity to be able to share the gospel with the Gentiles. Day after day, he was fearless. Paul, we're locking you up. We're beating you for the cause of Christ. All right. God's with me. Left for dead. You read in 2 Corinthians. Ever read that list in 2 Corinthians of what he went through? Shipwrecks. Beatings. Nakedness. Fastings. All imprisonments and hunger and thirst. I don't know if they teach you that in Bible college, if they say, all right, here's what to expect in the ministry. They don't usually go to that passage. Why? Because they don't want to scare everybody away. But there's many examples of people in the Bible who faced many dangers and hardships, but they did it fearlessly. Do you see what it said there in verse 16? Hey, my first round, nobody listened. No one was with me. Everybody forsook me. Except for the Lord. And the Lord gave me another opportunity to tell the Gentiles again. You know what Paul was? He was fearless. There's many people in our scriptures. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Look at what it says there. Hebrews chapter 11. We're almost done. Hebrews chapter 11. And verse 33. Hebrews 11, 33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Isn't that what Paul just said? Fearless. Subdued kingdoms. Quenched the violence of fire. Escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. Waxed valiant in the fight. Turning to flight the armies of the aliens. That's not like UFO stuff. What is this? This is fearlessness. God has given me His power. I'm going to go in. I'm going to do exactly what He says. And look at what happens. Their flesh may have quivered, but their hearts knew a power that was beyond earthly powers. They trusted God and acted boldly. How would you be described here tonight? Let's remember that God is our help. And this can only be known intimately through a relationship with the Lord if you are to live fearlessly. You know, Psalm 23 and verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. But look at Psalm chapter 18. Look at these. Look at how the Lord describes Himself. Make some notes in this. Say, I'm afraid. Hey, how about you live fearlessly? Look at who you got. The Bible says in Psalm 18, verse 1, I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock. These are very tangible, very strong words. God says, I'm with you, and you got my power. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler. Say, what is buckler? Like the thing on your belt? No, it's like a small shield. And the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. Nowhere in there is there ever he is a leaf by which I cover myself. No. He's cotton candy on a rainy day. No. He's my rock. He's my fortress. Hey, we can live fearlessly for His cause. Why? Because look at the power we have. Look at who's with us. God's our help. He's our refuge, our strong tower. He is our help in time of need. Last verse, Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41. A world without Christ is an upside-down world. Right? We know that. A human without Christ inside in their heart is an upside-down. They're just mixed up. We are living in that. Be not surprised by that. But know where you can go for strength and protection and hope and just a refuge. It's God. Not only defensively, but offensively. I can live fearlessly proclaiming His gospel. Isaiah 41 and verse 13, it says, For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. What do you got to fear then? What do you got to worry about? What could man do if that's God's promise to you? Even though we live in difficult times, and even more difficult times may come, I'm going to ask you this question. Will you trust God and remain steadfast? Or, I don't know, it's a little tough right now to be a Christian. I'm just going to kind of go down low. I'm not going to cause some trouble. Or are you going to live fearlessly for Him? Let us not confuse our agenda with God's will. Are you emboldening me to promote the things I believe? No. No, the Word of God. This is what we don't waver from the sound doctrine. Are you ashamed of the gospel? Or do you speak boldly to proclaim His truth? Who was the last person you shared your testimony with? Who's the last person you gave a gospel tract to? Who's the last person you shared the gospel with? Well, you know, just the Lord hasn't really brought anybody by. I think we're afraid. And what we need to exchange is our fears for His power. I think we need to be honest with God and say, God, forgive me. I have not been a good soldier for the cause of Christ. I've gone underground. Forgive me, as the song said, would you give me another chance? Are you bold for Him? Are you faithfully fearless? Let's all stand. Yes, even though difficult times may come, will you trust God and remain steadfast? Never moving. Are you ashamed of the gospel, or do you speak it boldly? I think Timothy had a problem. I think there was a tendency in Timothy's heart to back up a little bit. And Paul saw that by his writings. It just seemed like he was really pushing him forward. Maybe you're no different. Sometimes we read about the men and women in the Scriptures and think they're almost godlike. No, they're just like you, had the same fears, had the same worries. But they overcame, and the Lord used them in a mighty way. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. In the midst of a crazy and mixed up world, Lord, I am thankful that you are my shepherd. I'm thankful that you're my rock. I'm thankful that you're my refuge, my high tower. Lord, I'm thankful I can claim those. And God, I pray that we would exchange our fears for your power tonight. And that we would live boldly for your cause, not worrying what man can do unto us. God, we would maintain a testimony that honors and glorifies you, that we would be bold in our speaking of your gospel. Lord, help us with these things. Help us to combat our fears with your truth. Lord, I pray that you'd watch over us tonight, protect us. Lord, I pray that you'd bring us back safely soon together. Lord, we love you. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a good night. Amen.